Good. So, first thing, I would like to thank the organizers. This is a fantastic shop. workshop. Well, soon we'll be able to buy quantum computers, so it'll become a shop too. But for the time being, it's a workshop. Okay, so let's see what work we did so far. So this is work actually done by Sven Yandura, so who is a PhD student in our group. He is very good, and he's there around, so please go ahead and talk to him too. It's about time-optimal global gates with Rydberg atoms, and I'm very happy to discuss what we did. First of all, let me thank the organizer, though, because this is a really very nice workshop. So thank you for the opportunity. All right, so, well, I guess by now I can skip this slide. This is just to say that there is a lot of interest, obviously, to do quantum computing with Rydberg atoms. And, of course, the point is that there are strong long-range van der Waals dipolar interactions, a relatively long lifetime of Rydberg states can give rise to very strong interactions, so quantum gates. So this was the original paper by Misha, Dieter, Sirach, Zoller, Ross, and Cotet. Of 2000, they started all this field, and this is still one of the type of qubits that people, and the ideas of how to do quantum gates that people still use. So we have two ground states in hyperfine ground states in electronic structure. And the internal Hamiltonian has this structure here, so only one of the two states is coupled to light. We have this coupling with some Rabi frequency, some laser detuning, spontaneous emission, and crucially, Rydberg-Rydberg interactions. And so one can use this in this three step. This was type B of the original paper gate. It goes in three steps. There is a pi laser pass on atom one, two pi laser pass on atom two, again, pi laser pass on atom one, and a part single particle rotations. Then this is basically gives a differential shift on the GG state in this case that is interaction dependent, and you can use it to define a phase gate, so CZ. So there has been many experiments. Now we have heard the leading ones right now. Just explained, these are some references for recent years. And more or less, they follow this idea, except maybe the work by Biedermann and Deutsch. They have the Rydberg dressing technique. And then there is recently this very nice new idea from Pichler and Lukin, Buletich, and Greiner groups about doing global gates that do not require local addressability of the atoms, like in this case here in the original proposal. There is this J here, which means you have to talk to the individual atoms, but this has been overcome in recent ideas. We'll see a bit what that means. So current best gate fidelities, to my knowledge, are this, about 99.1 for qubit gates. There has been proof of principle experiments in Misha's group, and current limits, there is many for these gates that we just heard. Some of them, there is finite blockade strength, Rydberg decay, light scattering, laser phase noise, spatial variation of laser intensity, Doppler shift due to thermal motion, and if you know more, just, please, let's discuss later. So there is a lot of complications, of course, that come in to make these fidelities higher. So what are the solutions? So the first solution, that is something that is very, very useful, is this gate that actually has been mentioned already several times. So just is not our work, just let's recall what the idea is. So the idea here is now to substitute this local addressability with a global laser pass. So we have global laser addressing both atoms. The advantage is simpler in experimental setup. You can do maybe parallel application of the gate. The idea comes with the realization that, of course, you can run it, or of course, a posteriori, you can realize the gate. It took 20 years to figure out, as we had. You can run a gate in the following way. So you have a subspace, two distinct subspaces, one where you have 0-1 excitation coupled to the Rydberg state, and the 1-1 excitation coupled to a symmetric Rydberg state combination, so the W state. Now, you can do that with the same, if you tune now the laser in such a way that you have the same detuning here, you have a different dynamics given by the square root of 2 factor here. So if you put in the Bloch sphere, you can make a pulse sequence that gives you exactly this kind of logical sequence, and therefore you get a CZ gate if the difference between the phase accumulated during this path in this subspace minus the twice the other one is pi. Now, this is very nice because first, is there is no addressability of single atoms, and also the pulse duration turns out to be faster than the original proposal by quite a bit. And it's experimentally simple. So this was really very, very nice idea. Now, the question is, can we be even faster with a different shape, maybe, of pulses? Or can we generalize this pulse with the cubic gates and multi-cubic gates? So here is a very incomplete wish list for Rydberg quantum gates. So the gates should be fast. Several errors are mitigated simply by being fast. You would like to have global laser pulses. We just saw an example. No single site addressability, if possible, to simplify experiment. Pulses should be smooth. This would be further simplifies experiments and increase fidelity. Allow for three or more cubic gates natively. This has been shown an example. Fidelity should be compatible with error correction, and this is where everybody wants to go. So in this talk, I would like to report on some recent work we did with Sven about time-optimal CZ gates using a smooth global laser pulse that can be generalized to three particle ones, three body ones. And also, so this is maybe the main thing. It is possible to achieve smooth global laser pulses that do this. There is also, in doing this, we found a new method for semi-analytically describe these pulses. And then we can discuss about if this is useful or not. So so you can find the results here. And there is work we'll see later also from Tilman Fau and Hans-Peter Büchler, Simone Montangero, and co-workers on the cubic gates. All right, what is the problem description? So we have, again, we go back to the original idea. We have two atoms with, you know, two internal ground state hyperfine states, for example, and one of them only is coupled to the excited state. But now we want to focus on global pulses, and so therefore we just have one Rabi frequency. We want to find the fastest possible in principle. So we want to define basically the problem is what is in principle the fastest gate you can do for CZ and C2Z gates. So the assumption are we in the blockade regime. So the interaction energy here now B is much larger than the Rabi frequency. So that the population of double excited state is suppressed. But now what we do is we look at both amplitude and phase of the pulse that can be controlled. With the restriction that, of course, there is a maximum Rabi frequency that you can have in the experiment. So each experiment will have a different Rabi frequency. Now, the way in which we will do it is to apply optimal control methods. That is a technique that now is becoming more and more used, of course, for quantum information. Optimal control algorithms entail basically the control of pulses for optimization problem. It has many applications in NMR, quantum metrology, control of chemical reactions, and also quantum information, where they have been already applied to superconducting qubits, ions, and also neutral atoms. There is early work by Safman and a lot of the colleagues here. So we, of course, using this kind of algorithms, you can improve speed and fidelities of quantum gates, but also maybe provide new solutions if you are lucky. So the way which we will do it initially is purely numerical. This is typically how it is done. There are many algorithms that can provide solutions for control methods. We use GRAPE. GRAPE is gradient ascent pulse engineering. So the goal is optimize some gate fidelity. You have some control knobs. In our situation will be essentially the laser phase. We'll explain why. And then you have some phase here with some shape. And you make an approximation of this continuous shape into piecewise constant ansätze for this one. So basically, you break it down in many, many pieces. And then you have many variational parameters that you have to take into account. You can efficiently calculate the gradient of the fidelity with respect to these parameters. And then you numerically simply try to find a solution and hope to go in the right result. Now, there are many parameters and also sometimes many solutions. So you have to find a minimal, which is a full minimum of the problem and not just a local minimum. And one thing that sometimes these situations arise that they may contain, so the pulse that you just do numerically sometimes is a bit unintuitive and can be complicated. So you ideally would like to avoid that. And our question is, what is the best solution for the specific problem we are looking at? Now, the specific problem is we want to look at time-optimal global CZ gates. So for that, basically what we do is we start from a simple realization. Time-optimal means that we have to go as fast as we can. So fast as we can in this case means that we have rugby frequency has to be maximum the whole time. So we fix, we make announcements from the beginning that the rugby frequency is maximum, whatever that is in the experiment. And then we let change the phase, which is essentially the same as changing the tuning. And now we can rewrite the problem in a way like the symmetric gate that we've seen before. And we optimize for a CZ gate. In our language, is something like this. But basically, there is again a relation between the phase accumulated in one subspace with respect to the phase accumulated in the other subspace, exactly as before. And now we have an average fidelity here that is defined basically as the overlap between whatever is actually you are computing and whatever you would like to compute, which is the highest fidelity possible. And then we start with some random initial guess, and we repeat until convergence. OK, so this is what we do numerically. We start this, we just see the results, and then maybe we come back with some analytical part. So for the time optimal CZ gate, so to qubit gate, these are the results that we find. And you can see here the infidelity, so 1 minus the fidelity, as a function of time, as a final time of the gate. So we run the whole gate, and then big T here, capital T, is a final time. And then we see that if we start with a final gate time that is 0, we set 0.4, which is basically the identity. And then there are two solutions that the system finds, but then rapidly for longer time sequences, then there is just basically one solution that is always found. And it is unique, essentially, part of some symmetries. And then we can find that the infidelity goes essentially arbitrarily to 0 within, of course, what we are looking at right now, which is just the numerical error of the initial Hamiltonian that we have. So basically here, the error is set by the convergence condition for the optimization. And we see that, as you would expect, there is a kind of a quadratic decay close to the 0 here. So we can easily identify where the shortest timescale is. Now, maybe the interesting piece is the following, that this solution is actually a continuous function of phi. So if you look at phi as a function of time, so the phase, you see is sinus-like. So it's kind of a nice function, a continuous function. So it doesn't, so maybe I like the previous Mischa's work, which is essentially almost time optimal. It's only 10% slower than this. So it's already very, very good pulse. The advantage maybe here is that experimentally simple because you just change the phase very smoothly. So that's maybe the main message. There is one result that is, there is one gate which is faster than everything, and you only need smooth manipulation of the laser phase is needed. And if you look at now the trajectory in block sphere, this is what the 0-1 does, and this nice necklace here is whatever. Definitely not time control. Okay, let's see if he comes back. Okay. And this is exactly what I meant before. So there is a work also from Tillman and collaborators that found similar results in their also error budgeting, which is very interesting here. So now, one thing which is interesting is that if you now add addressability of the atoms, you may say, well, maybe you can get faster in this way. It's actually not. So for this situation where you just look at two qubit gates, the global addressing actually provides the fastest solution even in the presence of the two local addressability, which is not necessary in this case. So this is basically the same calculation done now allowing for two different rugby frequencies. And then you see that the results are exactly the same, the pulses are the same, so this doesn't buy you anything. Of course, it's nice. But. Okay, so for the generalization to the three-qubit one, say in a triangular geometry that they all see each other, for example, for simplicity, to start the same interactions, this is our results. So now this C2Z, so CCZ gate is a simple generalization of the two-qubit ones, so basically you flip. You get a minus sign on the three-qubit interaction. The only thing you have to do, essentially, is to add another piece of diagonal block diagonal Hilbert space that couples the 111 to the symmetric superposition of the 11R, 1R1, so the W state for three particles. And now you can repeat the same kind of numerical procedure and try to look for the solutions that are time optimal. And we find, in this case, two qualitatively different pulses that essentially they have the same time scale. So we get minimal infidelity at different pulse durations. Now it's a bit more interesting, this plot. This is infidelity versus 1 minus fidelity versus final duration time of the gate. And then you see that you start again from identity, and then you start going down. So you see here that now there are more solutions. So now the size of the dot is actually proportional to the probability of finding the solution in many, many times that you run your algorithms. You run it many, many times. And then the size here reflects how easily you find the specific solution. And so you see here that there are different solutions that branch out, but there is always, you know, one or two solutions that continue going down, down, down until they hit our numerical error threshold, which is essentially close to zero. Now we see if one zoom in that are in fact this one two different pulses that have essentially the same length. And this is how they look like. They have, again, both of them very smooth shapes. So even for the three cubic gate, the pulses are very smooth. There is not too much to say from this numerical calculation. Instead of plotting on the Bloch sphere, we find it more intelligible for the three qubit case to plot in this form, just the population of the various, you know, state 00R, 01R, or 11R type states. You see these oscillations, of course, with these different frequencies that reflect basically the square root of 2, square root of 3, so the different frequencies, of course, that you would expect from the effective Rabi frequency that you get. This for the two pulses. One is more symmetric, the other less, but fine. So one can discuss a bit the symmetries of these pulses. And let's see. I'm almost done. So in the next 20 minutes, no, how much? 2 minutes. I just need 2 minutes. Well, 2 minutes. Next 2 minutes, just I think minus 2 minutes. Okay. In the next minus 2 minutes, so just advertise that we found while studying this, we tried to find ways to understand better the pulses and maybe describe them with less. Because now we have maybe hundreds of variational parameters that we have to fix. And we found a semi-analytic way to do this, and essentially to reduce the variational thing, the variational parameters that you have to optimize to 4 and 6 instead of a few hundred for the 2-qubit and 3-qubit gates. And maybe for the sake of time, I will not enter details, but there is a way to do so. And in fact, you can now tabulate. You see that the semi-analytic approximation that is just a solution of the ordinary differential equations that are coupled between something called states and costates, then you see that is actually very good, both for the 2-qubit and 3-qubit gates, and we think this is actually quite a generic mechanism. So then you can find all these pulses on some repository. If we run numbers, actually this is taken from a paper from Safman from a few years ago. It looks like, at least in this case, for very reasonable Rabi frequencies, we get, in principle, gate errors, which are very good. And this can, of course, be improved by increasing interaction strength in Rabi frequencies. I think that my minus 2 minutes are becoming already minus one, so I will not discuss this. But of course, this is not the end of the day. We just said before in the talk that there are many, so being fast is good, but it's not the end of the game for any of the experiments. So there are many other things one may want to optimize towards. And we looked at already at finite block case strength, minimizing time in the reader state, so spontaneous emission, et cetera. Uncertainties on interaction strength. So basically, I would say that the name of the game now is forget about time optimality. That's kind of done for this. But now you can start looking at how to make it robust in general. That's what we are doing now, and thanks a lot for your attention.
Oh. Artem.
Yeah, thank you for the talk. I have a question. So how do you approach a problem if you of local minimas? So how do you make sure that you are not finding some local solution?
Yeah, so, well, you start, You can say, well, you can say, we really didn't hear for this problem here, we haven't encountered absolutely any constraint. And we find that actually comparing two completely different methods, so the same analytic method gives us exactly the same result at the end. So this gives us a very good confidence that this is actually the right solution. But numerically, just even if we were completely blind and we looked at that, here there are no other solutions that even come close. So this was pretty good. And you can adiabatically follow it for all. So then you can see the divergence of different solutions coming. So you are confident that there is no other.
Yeah, my question is connected to Artem's question. So is by time optimal, you mean there is no pulse shorter that would give the same fidelity? Or you mean that it's optimized over time?
It's optimized on the time.
I see. And now, so could you just quickly comment on this trade-off between time optimality and robustness?
Because it depends on what your error budget is, basically. There's a nice paper by Thiemann that makes the error budget. The error budget, for example, is, I don't know, could be phase noise, but typically temperature, so Doppler shifts and et cetera. Those are typically dominating right now the fidelities, and then one may need to optimize different things. So maybe you want to be a bit slower, but optimize with respect to different aspects, say. Time optimal means you spend very little time, for example, in the Rieber state. So you can show, for example, that if you just have two particles, time optimal also buys you less spontaneous emission because simply you populate less the Rieber state. That's a natural one. But if you want to do other noise sources that are part of your global budget, it depends on the experiment, then you may want to actually not just do that, but you may be interested in killing something that is taking out 10% of your idle budget and is not being slow. It's not spontaneous emission. So it depends really on the experiment.
But what is the motivation in minimizing? Yeah, sorry.
We can maybe continue later. All right. So thank you.
Thank you. Very
thank
much.
You.